Welcome into the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer back with you, joined as always right here on Second Helping by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Beard, Heisman Trophy voter. We're going to talk to Brent about his final ballot, as we know the results now from last Saturday night, but we want to hear Brent run down his top three or so. We look forward to hearing from Brent on that. And of course, Brent also, longtime college football analyst for First Coast News right there in Jacksonville, Florida. Brent, you kind of had to hold it, play it a little close to the vest there.
Yeah.
But now that it's over and the sworn secrecy that you and other Heisman voters are forced to take, tell us how that shook out for you before we get into the college football playoff and transfer portal and all that other stuff.
Yeah, I had the top three and Travis Hunter and from Colorado and Ashton Genty from Boise State and Dylan Gabriel from Oregon. So it was frankly closer than I thought it would be. Now there are a couple things going on here worthy of mentioning. Number one, I still don't agree with the fact that the week of the vote upcoming that we can't talk about who we voted for. I just think that takes away something from the award. I know you remember it, where we could tell yeah. people who we voted for, and it just brought attention to the award. Trav, the big thing going on now, and I'm curious your opinion of this, what it, with the CFP being expanded,
yeah,
there's talk about, should we delay the award and have it later? Now, I wouldn't have any problem with that because it would extend the season. What I don't know is, would the Heisman Trust ever go for it? I mean, look, they are, as you know, I don't want to use the phrase they're stuck in their ways, but they've got their way of doing things. And it's basically a regular season award. But look, I frankly think that has some merit. I think that's something they really need to look at is, I mean, if you're still involved with the game 6 weeks down the line from when you have the Heisman ceremony itself, is that really being fair now to the players who are involved?
Yeah, I think that's a situation maybe the NFL runs into, too, with its MVP. Mm-hmm. I think that voting mm-hmm. occurs after the regular season. In other words, like you're talking about with the Heisman being a regular season award. Now, I consider conference championship games to be postseason. I know they go down, I think, as regular season games. If it's not on your schedule before the season, to me, that's postseason.
Yeah,
because
really.
The games that are regular season are the games you know you're going to play in. Mm-hmm. Postseason isn't one of those. But, sure, I guess, you know, a couple things. A guy gets hot in the playoff, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. goes on a run of four or five games and is the best player in the playoff. But there's still that 12-game window, 13-game window of the regular season with the conference championship games, assuming all of that stays intact moving forward. And based on the money involved, there's no reason to think all that still won't be in the big pot. Yeah. So a couple different ways to look at it. I like the way you had it laid out with your vote. You know, it's hard to argue with a more impactful player than a guy that does it mm-hmm. on both sides of the football to the highest level that Hunter mm-hmm. has done it. And I know we can talk about leagues. Is he in a league resembling anything like the SEC? No, but I know our eyes tell us when a guy is special, especially to that extent. Mm-hmm. Our eyes are usually accurate on those type of things. So kudos to Travis Hunter for winning the Heisman Trophy. And, you know, interesting because we talked about it. No SEC representation.
That's right. No.
And that's something we just typically don't see on an annual basis.
No, and look, I thought Dylan Sampson probably maybe deserved to be there. I mean, there were a lot of talk about Jackson Dart at Ole Miss, who struggled in November. Carson Beck at Georgia, who got hurt. And frankly, really disqualified himself by all the interceptions that he threw. And look, I know there are other guys who would have been possibilities, but Trout, that has not happened in quite a while. That is very, very unusual for this league to not have, frankly, not only no one in New York, but basically no one in the top 10.
Yeah, and I think if we go ahead and look ahead to 2025, I don't think it would be all that out of line to say maybe DJ Lagway is the guy going in. I know, assuming Quinn Ewers moves on at Texas, Arch Manning is certainly going to be a guy based on what his potential is and his surname and his DNA, that there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on that guy. But yeah, you think about a year from now, those are a couple of the names anyway. Lenore Sellers has pushed himself, I think, into that conversation. Typically a quarterback award, although Travis Hunter showed us this year, that's not always the case.
That's right.
Well, Brent, man, I don't know. Should we talk college football playoff? Really? Or should we just talk transfer portal for the next 30 minutes or so? Because that seems to be just dominating things in the lead up to this weekend. That's right. This weekend, there is the start of the 12-team college football playoff. And you know, between the transfer portal sort of dominating things and also this TV schedule, I don't know if a lot of people are aware how – I think people are going to go – into the weekend thinking, oh, it's all on ESPN. It's not.
Yeah, no.
It's kind of, in some ways, like the NCAA men's basketball tournament. How
it really
you got to be able to find the games to some extent. Yeah. But your thoughts on how this calendar is played out now with the portal and, you know, just again, how it's sort of – a couple of things have diminished this playoff. I still think not having a fourth SEC team, you can say what you want. That certainly takes some of the shine off of it because we're talking about SMU at Penn State early on Saturday instead of insert. Alabama, obviously, but Ole Miss, South Carolina, SEC team versus Penn State early on Saturday. I think there'd be more buzz about that.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. Your point is a good one. That look, we've waited this long to finally get a playoff. Instead of just having four teams or two teams that were never enough. And now it's much better, but there's no question it's being overshadowed by the portal. And as evidenced is, what's going to happen with Penn State in this situation if Drew Allar gets hurt because his backup is supposed to be going to the portal and saying he's in a tough spot. I think the thing that we've got to look at here is what can we do to come up with some middle ground. I think 20 days is way too long. I think that this needs to be cut to either 15 or 10. If we did that, basically cut it in half, because when you're talking about it's starting basically early in December. You got 20 days. I mean, you're almost going, Trav, aren't you, to the end of December?
Yeah, and look, you got an academic calendar.
Sure you do.
Lost in all this, yes. You still have to deal with the academic side of this. And now with the college football season spilling, really taking out a lot of December potentially and then deep into January, I don't know when is a good window with the way that it's set up right now. I wanted to ask you this from the SEC perspective of the guys that we know that have gone in and stayed in. I think that's important to note too.
No doubt.
We've seen and heard of guys going in, coming out, in for a day, out for a day, was supposed to go in, ended up not going in. Who's the guy though in the SEC maybe that has surprised you the most, or is there anything such as a surprise with this stuff anymore?
Well, I think that that's a good point. Now I will say this: Florida's basically kept everybody to their credit. I mean, the Damian George offensive lineman is coming back. Now Keon Zipper, the tight end, he is retiring from football, but Jake Slaughter on the offensive line, and but pretty much that offensive line.
Now, did Damian George go in and come back out?
Yeah, that, basically, yes.
Say this though, Florida for me, speaking of surprises, I think Jack Pyburn, the edge that started a lot of football games for the Gators this year. I'm not saying he's a superstar, but that one sort of surprised me.
Yeah.
That he went in and apparently now is on the move to LSU.
Yeah, and listen, speaking of LSU, maybe they've done as well as anybody. Harold Perkins Jr., I understand, is coming back, and that may be more for because of the injury than anything else. I think to answer your original question is who maybe be the biggest surprise. Now, I don't think a lot of people will put this together, but you and I saw enough of Michael Van Buren this year in Mississippi State, who is now committed to LSU. And I know Nussmeier's coming back at LSU. But, Trav, this kid was pretty good. And I'm just wondering here if he really may be setting himself up. He got some pretty good experience with Mississippi State. He may really be able to help them if it's not this coming season, or shall we say next season, it may be in two seasons.
Yeah, we're going to need a roster of SEC quarterbacks when this is all said and done. Did a show last week with Smitty here on the channel, and we got into quarterbacks on Alabama's schedule. It's Alabama show that we do. And just looking at Alabama's schedule, and Alabama maybe very well into a new quarterback situation there. In Tuscaloosa, it's going to be crazy going into next season in terms of identifying returning quarterbacks. Oh, yeah. Sellers at South Carolina.
Right.
Of course, Nussmeier coming back at LSU. You know, you're going to have some situations maybe around the league where it's really unknown. And it looks like some of these teams aren't just taking one quarterback. Like Auburn's. Yeah. Looking at taking a couple of guys, They have taken a couple of guys at the quarterback position. Got to kind of rebuild that room because it's not just Peyton Thorne that's moving on. They've had attrition there really throughout their quarterback lineup.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think the thing that you hear is Hugh Freeze wants four quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And one of those being Ashton Daniels coming over from Stanford. Now, look, Jackson Arnold – from Oklahoma, I know he has success against Alabama, and that still is one of the reasons that they get players if they had success against Alabama. But I'm still not sure Jackson Arnold is a complete guy. And Trav, I'm sure you've seen this like I have, that there is now talk, this preseason stuff about Carson Beck being the number one draft choice. We obviously know that's not going to happen between – interceptions and injuries, but that there's talk now he's got one more year of eligibility. Does he come back?
And with the NIL money flying around, you might make more money next year as a college quarterback than you might in professional football. We didn't mention Kelby Collins, a defensive lineman from the University of Florida. Gelato here in the show chat checking in, and he is telling us that Bama just got Kelby Collins, and that's what it looks like is the case. I know BamaOnline.com, among others, reporting that right now. Collins, an Alabama guy, so not exactly a surprise. He had been linked to Alabama since hitting the portal. You know, it's mostly been about potential for Kelby Collins.
It has.
You know, I think Pyburn is actually a guy that we've seen and had more documented production from, but hey, talented big guys that can play on the defensive side of the ball and perhaps get after the quarterback. Always going to be a place for those types, and it looks like that will be the case for the former Gator and Kelby Collins headed back home.
Yes.
To Alabama. So,
and I think interesting, obviously, with Jalen Mbakwe deciding that he is staying. I've seen some reports. I know you have, but more on this about Jalen Milroe possibly going to the NFL. To Danny Lewis coming back for Alabama, the tight end. I thought was was big. Bama looking at Isaiah Horton from Miami, transfer. What wide receiver? So just a whole lot of questions with a lot of teams. And
The Mbakwe situation was pretty bizarre, wasn't it?
It was.
Best pals with Ryan Williams came in together. Hardcore Bama guy from the Birmingham area. Start hearing rumblings of offers and big numbers that could be available to Mbakwe and other players and other programs. It's just wild, wild times. No regulation. And really, as much, there's no regulation on the representation of these guys.
No.
There isn't an NFLPA in the college game that says, you can represent our players, but you're getting a max of 3%. You know, an NFLPA certified agent, the max that he or she can get from a player is 3%. You know, we've heard some coaches talk about this, how you've got representation, people who aren't even certified. You know, the NFLPA requires that NFL agents go through a pretty and rigorous certification process. You're vetted. You know, they protect their players. And you got people running around representing college players, probably getting 15 to 20%. And that's why when you see in the social media posts about so-and-so has entered the portal according to his agents, and you're thinking, how does a college player have like two agents? You know, if you get a couple of guys or gals or companies or whatever they are working together, you know, they're not splitting up 3%.
No,
they might be splitting up 20%. Math gets a little easier. And then, you know, you're talking leverage in a lot of these situations when you see guys come back, because a lot of these guys and their reps see the other guys getting their deals.
Yes.
You know, and you think these 17, 18, 19 year old guys are going to keep quiet what they're going to get?
Absolutely not.
What their deal is going to be for the next year. So boy, that gets around the locker room real quick. And you can talk about, well, you know what? Yeah. We'll give you a podcast, you know, if the other guy on the podcast is getting paid and you're not. I understand maybe the other guy on the podcast has had a hell of a year and you've pretty much been a backup and a special teamer, but you know, there's still the opportunity to go shop because there are no 3 or 4 year contracts right now. It doesn't seem all very much week to week in college football and college athletics.
Well, and Trav, would you believe it? That even Dabo Swinney has joined the game a little bit. They've got
if he wants to stay in the game.
Absolutely. Tristan Smith from SEMO, Southeast Missouri State. Now look, you and I've said for a while, for Dabo, you don't have to go get 20 players in the portal.
But
if you get 3 to 6, that really give you pretty good depth. There's something wrong with that. And B, that may actually help you.
Well, I think Dabo's maybe coming around a little bit, but we do want to talk some football. We do want to talk some on the field gridiron action coming up here in the next few days. And it's going to get underway for the SEC, I guess, Brent. On Friday afternoon in Tampa with the Florida Gators, going to take on the Tulane Green Wave. You talked about this earlier. All things considered, this is a pretty whole Florida football team heading into this matchup.
Look, they pretty well have got everybody intact. The good thing is, and I think some of this is NIL deals that may even have something to do with playing in the in a bowl game,
right?
Which would be helpful. I mean, that basically their whole offensive line is coming back. Caleb Banks is coming back. Obviously, Lagway will play. Now, I appreciate John Sumrall at Tulane and what he has done, frankly. Now, obviously, they've got their own issues right now at quarterback. But look, Trav, aren't there a lot of advantages for a team like Florida? Okay, you've got this game that's going to be on the 20th of December. You win it, you get it out of the way, you continue your momentum in dealing with the portal and keeping your guys intact. I mean, Florida really has an opportunity to go into this postseason, maybe along with South Carolina, is being one of the two teams in the league that has most going for it as they look for the rest of December and January.
Yeah, Florida doesn't just have its quarterback. Tulane's quarterback is already at Duke.
Yeah. How about that?
Darian Mensah. Yeah, that's kind of where we're at. So, absolutely. I mean, this should be a great opportunity for the Gators to finish on a positive note in their home state, that springboard sort of performance that you see sometimes from teams that are 6, 7, 8 wins. Get a win in a game like this and continue that positive momentum and that that recruiting flurry that Billy Napier and that crew has been on, and the attractive nature. With Lagway coming back, even where the portal's concerned, I think you've seen some of that. So sure, a game Florida should win, and a game that can help Florida in a lot of different ways. No doubt about that, Brent.
Yeah, absolutely. And really the only game for the SEC that this week, and we've got Oklahoma Navy and Vandy and Georgia Tech and some others coming up next week, which would be fun to talk about. Of course, we've also got another SEC team that we can talk about too. But really, I like these bowls, frankly. A lot of them are on late at night where – I may not stay up for all of them, but I'm staying up for some of them. And along with SEC basketball, it's still a pretty fun week.
Yeah, yeah. Florida Tulane taking you into, I guess, Notre Dame Indiana Friday night.
Yes.
First round playoff action from South Bend, and then coming up on Saturday, of course, it's an SEC doubleheader in the college football playoff. Clemson in that 4 o'clock Eastern game. That game, by the way, is on TNT. So at 4 o'clock, when you throw it on ESPN and you can't find it, go over to that college football stalwart of a broadcast network. Of course, TNT, when you think college football.
Yeah, really.
TNT. But 12th seeded Clemson traveling to Austin to take on the Texas Longhorns. Longhorns trying to regroup, recover after that SEC championship game loss to the Georgia Bulldogs. And look, you lost the game, but at least you came out of it with your quarterback intact. That's something the Georgia Bulldogs can't talk about. Although Quinn Ewers, we know, has been dealing with an ankle injury. It's led to some speculation about perhaps the presence of Arch Manning early in this playoff, maybe against Clemson on Saturday. I think, again, we talked a lot about the Texas defense throughout the season. Mm-hmm. You know, Clemson did some nice things against SMU in that ACC title game. But this defense from the state of Texas coming up this week, I think is going to be a little different than the one Clemson encountered from Dallas a couple of weekends ago.
Well, my question to you, and I think what you're getting at is frankly, can Clemson's offensive line block this Texas defensive line?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be huge. And Trav, another, and you mentioned this guy earlier in the season, and he's done okay with over 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. But can Phil Moffa be able to come in and be any kind of a difference maker here? If he could get a little bit of yardage here against Texas, I think that will be huge. Now Clemson themselves has got a good defensive front, certainly with Peter Woods. But, Trev, my question is Clemson going to continue to be as schizophrenic as they have, i.e. the SMU ACC championship game, where they look like they're one of the best four teams in the nation the first half, and, Trev, in the second half, they're almost unrecognizable.
Yeah, Moffa, I thought this, even in the season opener against Georgia, when we previewed that game way, way back, I thought Maffa had to be a kind of 100 scrimmage yards kind of guy against Georgia for Clemson to have a chance. And he's more beat up now. You know, he's dealing with multiple issues. I think he's got a pretty serious shoulder injury. So maybe these couple weeks have been good for him. Because, as you said, they're going to really need him. They can't put this all on Cade Klubnik in that Clemson passing game. Because if they do, it could be similar to what Clemson got from Georgia.
Yes.
Back in the first week or two of the season. So, that's the problem. I don't see Clemson offensively being able to hang in. I think Clemson's best chance offensively is if Texas continues to be –
really?
Oh, hit and miss on the offensive side of the ball. You know, Texas, you know, may be inept enough over extended stretches of this game that keeps Clemson in this game, if anything does.
Very much. Yeah. Agree. Yeah, I agree with that totally. Absolutely. So, I mean, I see Texas moving on here and then having an unlikely matchup with Arizona State.
Oh, geez. That's the thing. I mean, you love the layout for Texas, really. I mean, I guess until they would get to Oregon in a semifinal. Not Oregon. They would see, well, what's Texas? Well, this is Texas is a 5 seed, so it would be Oregon in a semifinal, 4-5 game, and you got Arizona State as a 4 seed, so yeah, that lays out pretty nicely before you might see the Ducks in a semifinal. And then the nightcap on Saturday night, the Tennessee Vols go to Columbus, Ohio, to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes. I think Tennessee's defense has a chance to make this thing as ugly as Michigan did.
Yes.
And I don't trust Will Howard.
No.
At all, you know. I didn't understand why that move was celebrated as much as it was at the time basically tell the rest of your quarterback room, you guys can move on. We've got Will Howard.
Right.
So, you know, both these quarterbacks, they can be a little bit inconsistent, but I like the form Nico's coming in right now with for Tennessee than I do Will Howard for Ohio State, Brent.
Well, look, to me, the easy thing here is defense and running game travels, don't it, Trav? And that's what Tennessee's got. I mean, if I know Dylan Sampson left the Vanderbilt game banged up, he should be okay all the way around. And then you've got James Pierce that's making pressure with Ohio State. Listen, Trav, If this thing is ugly, what in the world is that Buckeye fan base going to be toward the end of this game? And look, I'm not saying that they would fire Ryan Day afterwards, but look, they might. If you lose to your bitter rival, and then you got a chance to rectify it in the playoffs, and you lay an egg, but boy, what does that leave you?
Yeah, I think it leaves you out. You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's a patchwork Ohio State offensive line. I think Tennessee offensively can do enough to control that game. Biggest thing is you need Dylan Sampson to avoid the first half fumble. True. You know, the first half mishap. Yeah. I mean, you'd love to hand it to him 20-25 games in this 20-25 times in this game and just kind of let your defense do the work. So, you know, you shouldn't like Tennessee to go on the road and win in late December at night at the Horseshoe, but it's hard for me to look away from Tennessee given what we've seen from the Ohio State Buckeyes, especially in these big, big moments, not just in the past, but in this season under Ryan Day. And I absolutely think if Ohio State loses this game Saturday night, I think Ryan Day's done.
Very well, maybe.
Then the Urban Meyer rumbling crank back up. So Texas, Tennessee, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night representing the Southeastern Conference. As you said, Brent, then as we move forward, it Still be a little bit of a gap, I guess, before we get into a lot of SEC action. But, you know, teams with that opportunity to kind of recover and get themselves ready for their respective bowl games. And, you know, some of these teams, I may be a little bit of a surprise to some folks that they're going to be as complete from a personnel perspective as they're going to be. Certainly there's been a lot of news around the league from the transfer portal perspective, but in terms of star power, there's probably going to be more guys playing in non-CFP games than I would have thought maybe 3 or 4 months ago, Brent. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I agree with that totally. I think that is very, very possible. I mean, obviously, you know, maybe some of these Oklahoma wide receivers, the ones who are left could – get on the field and play. I still love that Vandy Georgia Tech game in the Birmingham Bowl.
That's a sneaky good game Birmingham
really,
got.
This it really time. Is.
I like that for Birmingham because those two fan bases should show up. Tech lost to Georgia, but that was as big a moral victory as you can get in taking Georgia to 8 overtimes. And yes, Vanderbilt ended up losing pretty convincingly to Tennessee, but this is an opportunity to go to a bowl game as a Vanderbilt fan, and you just got to make the drive down 65. I would think most of them would do that. Yeah, that December the 27th, as you're kind of alluding to here, Oklahoma going to get Navy and Fort Worth. Georgia Tech, Vanderbilt, 3:30 Eastern on the 27th. It's all day long.
SEC it sure is.
On the 27th. And even that nightcapper, 10:30. Right. Eastern kick with Texas A&M and USC could be fun.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And obviously, when we get into New Year's Eve and so forth with Alabama, Michigan, South Carolina really playing well with Illinois, LSU, Baylor, Ole Miss and Duke is somewhat interesting here in Jacksonville. One thing I also wanted to point out, Trav, was, man alive, is there any team like Georgia that so badly needed to win their conference championship game and give them some time before they played again so they make you get some guys healthy?
Yeah, that's still the question, right, with Georgia is Carson Beck, obviously. But they've also been hit with some portal news. Now, look, terms of frontline guys, I don't think it's been anything to that extent for Kirby Smart's team, but you're in a college football playoff and that's just something else you got to deal with, you know, and especially for these teams playing this weekend that have had to deal with it to go along with everything else. But I think that's another reason too, why some of these personnel departments that we've seen in college football grow in numbers like they have. And now the implementation of NIL, you know, exit interviews used to be you talk to a player about, you know, kind of how they fit in moving forward in terms of their position and, you know, where they're at on the depth chart. Now it's, I think determinations have to be made on how much are we going to allot for this player.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of money. And you know, once that determination's made, the player makes the decision to stay or move on. And I just don't think there's many surprises for these folks in these personnel departments. Cause I think they go throughout the season kind of formulating combinations of core guys like the NFL with the salary cap of, okay, if we can keep these 10 or 12 guys for sure together, that's our priority. And so by the time the end of the season rolls around, you know, they kind of know who that group is that they're trying to really keep.
Well, and I know a lot of people don't want college football to become NFL white, but I think it's already there and it's certainly going. But listen, to your point, though, I mean, Travis, these guys have got contracts and they know the structure of the what the money is going to be. Wouldn't that help a lot of these situations immediately?
You would think. You know, and it just, again, I can't reiterate enough. Boy, Nick Saban's enjoying retirement more and more every day, isn't he?
He really is, isn't he?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Let everyone else deal with this. You got coaches taking pay cuts. to help facilitate maybe collectives and NIL. Mike Norvell, Gundy out at Oklahoma State. Essentially, that's what Brian Kelly did at LSU and offering up the million to match.
Yeah.
I like that approach better if I'm a coach. That sounds better. You know, it sounds like I'm not really giving up anything. I'm helping. I'm helping.
Right. Right.
But, you know, those coaches, none of them won enough. I would have thought T. Boone Pickens, though, with what he has left to OSU out in Stillwater, money's probably not as big of an issue for them. Now, Florida State, I don't think enough people understand the Seminoles in terms of capital and, you know, reserves and resources, probably not as flush in cash.
No,
as people, they are very much public dependent, or they have been.
They are.
Florida State has been relative to, say, Florida or, or some other comps that are often made to the Florida State football and athletic departments. So, Brent, anything else before we get out of here live?
I'd be real curious about your opinion of this. The and this is interesting for the we don't talk about the ACC that much, but this would dovetail with a little bit about what we're talking about. I've seen and talked to some people over the last few days who have made this observation, in that the ACC basketball is struggling. I never thought we'd say that, but it is. I mean, North Carolina was dismantled by Alabama. They're doing the same tonight. Florida is doing that to them also. But Trev, now North Carolina with Belichick coming in.
Chapel Bill.
Yes.
Chapel Bill.
But what's happening is they're going all in for football. And this is something, and people may say, well, haven't they done this before? No, they necessarily haven't. Now, this is one of the reasons, and we use Nick Saban as illustration, and he's worthy of things like this, because he got everybody together day one, including the maintenance staff.
Yeah.
And he said, look, everybody's going to be on the same page, and we're going all in for football. And we saw the success they have. And, Trav, for the first time, I would say, I would argue that the ACC is looking to do that. And I find that fascinating.
Or is North Carolina getting SEC ready?
North Carolina
sending the message, the signal that, hey, and maybe Duke comes with them. Southeastern Conference.
Yes.
And you can elevate your status as basketball programs.
True.
As crazy as that sounds, as I ever would have thought it would, have thought it sounded crazy.
Yes.
But right now, if you want to elevate your status as a basketball program, it ain't the ACC.
No.
It's the SEC. And if you want to be in a conference where, you know, the football is going to always be at the elite level. Maybe not. I don't know. There's other things in play for sure with departments like Carolina and Duke. So, but that would be my choice as an SEC fan, when the SEC expands the next time. Give me Duke and Carolina. Give me that hoops.
Yes.
And then knowing that Carolina apparently is willing to go to this extent. Now, maybe this is just a one-off. Maybe this was, hey, this is what we had to do to get 73-year-old Bill Belichick. You know, that could be problematic at the
end of the day. And look, to your point, the SEC presidents and chancellors, who still have a lot of opinions here and carry a lot of weight, they love that North Carolina Duke academic end of it.
Sure.
And that's extremely important to them. Now, I understand North Carolina, there needs to be some political things inside the state before the SEC goes that way. But look, I'm on board with you on this. I think that's where the SEC goes. I don't think they're in a hurry to do it, but I think that's where they go next.
That'd be my choice over Clemson, Florida State.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if Clemson and Florida State really bring you anything else. And you've already got, you know, you've already got Florida, you already got South Carolina. So I don't know.
Well, and my last question, Trav, is now Christmas is next week.
Yeah.
Now does our beloved Pops, does he have any kind of a game plan for next week for presents?
His only game plan is just getting it over.
Yeah.
He just would like it to come and go without incident.
Yeah.
And if he could fast forward it, I think he would, you know, I think he would, but I haven't really talked about him. You know, his Gators play Friday afternoon. Yep. He might be rejuvenated where his Gators are concerned, but there's still only one Pops, no doubt about that. Only one Brent Beard too, by the way. Brent, of course, letting us in on his Heisman Trophy ballot for the 2024 race. And he pretty much had it knocked out, it sounds like, Brent. So good stuff as always, my man. And we'll talk again before the holiday. But if we don't talk to you out there before the holiday, we hope you have a great, great holiday, a safe holiday, a joyous holiday. And we hope you're able to spend it with the people you love and the people that love you as well. Brent, anything else?
Nope, that'll do it, my friend. Merry Christmas to all. Enjoyed it very much. And yes, we've got a big weekend coming up, and it will get big next week too. So just in terms of what you and I do, it's a wonderful time of year.
It really is. It really is. Transfer portal and all.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
A lot of presents being moved from under different trees right now.
Hey, Trev, how about our friend TJ Finley signs with Tulane after being with LSU, Auburn, Texas State, and Western Kentucky?
The drive for five, baby. Hey, good for TJ.
Yeah.
You know, stretch that thing out. I guess the quarterback from Oklahoma State that had been maybe approved for an eighth year,
Bowman decided
he's going to go ahead and go to the NFL. I guess if he makes a team at his age in the NFL, he'll already be vested. So he'll be able to go ahead. He'll only need to just make the team in his rookie year, and he'll qualify for vestation. So
yes, absolutely.
Brent, enjoyed it. We'll do it again soon.
Me too, brother. Take care.
For Brent Peard, Travis Ryer, thanking you for joining us right here on Second Helping on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on Ryer on YouTube. And a thumbs up, a like would help us out too. For Brent, Travis, happy holidays, everybody. Until next time, so long.